Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 81 of Season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today, and hopefully all week, is Lisa Leahy of the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network and also Rhode Island's 2022 Teacher of the Year. Welcome, Lisa.
23. Close enough. What?
No, but
23 Teacher of the Year. 2023.
I thought it was last summer. Now I'm really confused.
No, so it's a weird thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing. So the way our state does it, we kind of do it almost like a year and a half because we get named at the end of a school year. But the national program actually goes January to January. So I am the 23 state
okay.
Teacher of the Year.
So I apologize. Thank you. I apologize.
Totally okay.
The 2023 Rhode Island State Teacher of the Year. There we go.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Everything else was correct.
Okay, I'm close. I'm close. That's good. All right. So episode 81 begins with Holly putting her tray table in its locked and upright position and ends with yes. John starting his report. So we ended things on Friday with Holly looking over at Thornburg, who's giddy as a schoolboy. Writing something rapidly, yes. Listening with one of those really old earpieces that we all used to have with our like Walkman or transistors or whatever, you know, just to have it on one ear and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And you know, before we started using those foam headphones.
Yes, and before we stopped worrying about whether or not people thought it was rude.
That's right.
Like you only had one in because you didn't want to be rude. Correct. And nowadays, everybody walks in with both
right.
of them.
No, I still walk around with one. You know, I...
Oh, you're old school. Well, I just don't walk around with any of them.
Well, no, I it's because that's how I listen to movies. So, you know, I listen to movies with I have to have an earpiece and listening because, you know, everywhere that I'm watching or listening to a movie, I can't do it in front of other people. So people don't know that that's what I'm doing. They think I'm listening to music. You know, fun.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Well, come on, with the amount of movies that I watch, obviously I'm doing it in front of other people. You know.
See, that's interesting because I can't, I that would be distracting to me. Like, I want to watch it. I don't want to listen to it. I'll listen to
it. Oh,
audiobooks,
no, I do both.
But
I watch it also. I don't just listen. There are times when I have just listened to a movie. I know that a few days ago, I listened to the entire Titanic, you know, without watching it. I didn't see a single second of screen time the
Why?
Entire thing because, again, I was in a car and I had a 3-hour drive. And there were other people in the car, so I just listened to it.
Got it.
You know?
Okay.
And again, they that thought I sense. Was listening to music. Why not?
Yes.
So.
Oh, that is too
yes,
funny.
That's me. That's the way I am. What can I tell you? So.
Hey, you know what? We got to do what we got to do. I understand.
I definitely do. So Holly looks over at Thornburg, writing your acceptance speech for the Video Sleaze Awards. And he yes. looks at her and goes, try Pulitzer.
Yeah, because his ego is clearly in
That's
check.
Right, for sure. But I mean, first of all, I love it. It's really great that we see that as she's looking at him and talking to him, basically, over this... Over two women, you know, there's one next to Holly and there's one yes. next to him. You know, they're still having this conversation between the two of them. so, you know, she's putting away her, we see her, you know, put away her Nakatomi book. She takes a huge laptop and puts it into her bag also. You know, it was all sitting on the tray table that she has in front of her.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Got to make use of the time
That's
you have.
That's right. That's right. Do you know where the idea of tray tables came from?
I don't.
I mean, obviously, in the movie we're watching it, we see it in on an airplane. But, you know, people use tray tables for other things also. You know, less nowadays.
I mean, I figure you need them to eat.
Correct. I mean, I remember my grandparents. So we're talking 40 years ago. They would be sitting in their living room with tray tables. You know,
oh, you mean that kind of tray table? I thought you meant like airplane.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there are airplane ones and there's also regular ones. You know,
right. Oh, yeah, we had them. The TV. TV.
That's
chairs,
right. That's right. They're either known as a TV tray table, a TV dinner tray, a TV table or a personal
yep.
table. Right. It's
yep.
collapsible furniture that functions as a small and easily portable folding table. They were originally designed to be a surface from which one could eat a meal while watching television. The phrase tray table can also refer to a foldaway tray, such as those found in the front of airline seats, right? They actually became popular in the 1950s as a way for people to hold
That
food
makes
and
sense.
drinks while watching TV. When
Yep, because that was the big new
that's right,
thing.
when people started using TV dinners. They started
Yep.
advertising it on TV in 1952, which is interestingly 1 year before Swanson introduced the idea of a TV dinner.
Oh, well, there you go. That makes
Yeah.
sense.
So they used to sell them in like sets of four, where you were able to like be on a rack. Again, I still remember in my grandparents' house, that's what they had. If we wanted to watch, if we wanted to eat something, or actually we would also use it to play cards on sometimes and stuff like that also. But if we had them folded up on the side and we took them, in the
Absolutely.
living room. So
I still have one. I just have one tray left. That's the only one that's left for whatever
Oh,
happens to the rest of them in the actual rack. But because I bought my parents' house and they still had one. So it's still in there because every now and then you need one. You need a surface for something or other.
wow. Interesting. So they don't know who actually invented the idea of it, but it was based on something known as a butler's tray table, which the idea was that you would have something. It was made of two pieces, a metal tray with grips mounted on its underside, with a set of tubular metal legs with rubberized tips at the bottoms. The grip clipped onto the legs, which you can open and support the tray, or collapse in order to store them stackably. And the tray would still remain clipped to the one of the legs supports when you would store it away and stuff like that.
Yep, they still use them in catering.
That's right. I mean, I was looking to see if
And they come out with those big giant trays now, and they'll put them down on that so they can take care of an
yeah.
entire table of
That's right.
people.
That's true. I mean, I was trying to find the origin of the one from the airplane, but I couldn't find one. But it's the
Right.
same basic idea, I guess you can say.
I wonder if it's just if they just always had them because, or at least on long flights, you would need them because you have to feed people when you're on these extended flights.
Correct. Correct.
So I figure it must have been part of the initial design, but
Yeah, at some
I
point
don't
they decided to add it in there. I mean, it makes sense. There is some
know.
logic to it. And then, the response that Holly gets from Thornburg is try Pulitzer. So, I'm assuming you know what the Pulitzer Prize is.
I do know what the Pulitzer Prize
How
is. Yes,
many
and
do you
he
have?
is definitely not a candidate for it. I've been nominated 3 times, but I just haven't won yet. No,
It's
zero. That's out of my
an
realm.
honor to be nominated, right?
Oh my gosh.
Do you know how much someone?
I'd be wondering who the, I'd be wondering what mistake they made to nominate me.
That's right. Do you know how much people win when they win it? Because there's a cash,
No, I
there's
didn't
a
know there was a
there is a
monetary
cash
award.
award also.
That's impressive. I did not
Yes,
know that.
they get a $15,000 cash award, which up
Oh,
until
that's not too
2017
bad.
was $10,000.
Interesting, because there's a teaching award, a national teaching award called the Milken Award, and that's 25,000 if you get it. So at least teaching are up the have upped the ante on
Very
something.
nice. Very nice. And there are 23 award categories that they give out in the Pulitzer,
Yes.
which I was like shocked that there are
Yes.
so many of them. I didn't even think about it. I just.
Yeah, well, the Nobel Prize has a lot of
Yeah.
them too. It's crazy how many categories you don't expect,
That's right.
and th they're just out there.
That's right. Here, I'll just quickly go through them. I'm not going to go into detail with each of them. I'll read the names. So you have the Public Service Award, you have the Breaking News Reporting Award. You have Investigative Reporting Award. Maybe that's what he was trying to get here. Or
I think he's looking for the breaking
it
news
could
one
be. There's the Explanatory Reporting.
because he's the only one who has this
Right.
information. Yeah.
Local Reporting, National Reporting, International Reporting, Feature Writing, Commentary, Criticism, Editorial Writing, Editorial Cartooning, Breaking News Photography, Feature Photography. And then they have seven categories that are. That are long form, I guess. You have biography, drama, fiction, general nonfiction, history, memoir or autobiography, and poetry. And in 2020, they added a new one called the audio reporting category.
Ah, yes.
which
Makes
is,
sense.
for podcasts and things like that, So
Podcasts,
you
makes
and I
sense.
will be up for
How
that.
many do you have?
The truth is, I just don't
Especially
I
with
don't
this
want to pay the
episode.
$75 fee, to put your name in the hat. So, nah, I don't know.
Seriously, you have to pay to be nominated? Get out of here.
Whoever I guess whoever nominates you
I'm not
needs to
playing
pay.
that game.
But you'd think that it's probably like the news outlet or whatever that's paying for it or something like
That's terrible.
that. And obviously they're
You shouldn't have to pay for an award. Like, that's stupid.
And there are tons of criticism, the controversies that have happened over the years. I'm not going to go into any of those because some of them are pretty interesting, but
Yeah. Give me a Cliff's Notes of one of them as I show my
in
age,
20
asking you for
in
Cliff's Notes.
2010, the Tony Award winning musical Next to Normal won the drama prize.
Yes.
Okay, even though it was
Okay.
not among the nominees.
Interesting. See that I like. I like that. They were like, no, the nominees are not good enough, but this one is, so give it to them. I like
Yeah.
that.
Then in 1994, in the History Prize, the novel by Gerald Posner called Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK was nominated unanimously for the award. However, they decided that year not to give out any award.
That's stupid. You gotta love the politicism that gets
Yeah,
into
there were
these
actually two.
things.
Sorry, there were two other books that year that also were. There were three that they said we want to give to all three of them, and I guess they couldn't decide between them, and they said, okay, we're just not going to give to anyone. The other two were Lawrence Friedman's Crime and Punishment in American History and Joel Williamson's William Faulkner in Southern History. So
Interesting.
yeah.
See, that's a sham. I can't believe it. We can't decide, so therefore none of you
That's
get
right.
anything. Like,
That's
that's
right.
awful.
I'm
What a
sure everyone
shame.
would be like really disappointed if that happened, like at the Oscars. They'd be like, and the Oscar goes to none of
Yes.
you because you're all just great.
You're all
That's right.
winners.
You're all winners in our book. There you
Oh my God, can you
go.
imagine?
Now I tried finding
What a.
yeah I tried finding the Video Sleaze Awards, but I couldn't find any reference to it besides this movie. So I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't
No,
actually
I
exist.
actually hope that it did. It sounds like something that could exist.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Something interesting, but no, I guess
Yeah,
not.
happens.
I mean, some of the quips in this movie are pretty lame, so it's just sort of funny when they come up and you go, "Oh, that one really wasn't very good. Who
Yeah,
approved
that's true.
that?" This
Yeah,
is
well,
one.
we'll see if it's in the script later or not. Maybe it's an ad
There
lib,
you go.
maybe not. Who knows?
Could be.
And going back to what we were talking about on Friday, so the flight attendant suggested that maybe they put on some TV. So then we hear an announcement over the speaker saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, while waiting to land, our cabin attendants are turning on local Washington broadcasting. The sound is on channel 3." Now, I'm a little confused. You'd think, I mean, maybe it's just because I don't remember that far back. Did they actually have broadcast TV on flights? I mean, you'd think that they had.
Only because they were right above. They actually make a comment about that. They say, "We're directly above Washington. Why don't you throw on some TV?" So yeah, they because the signal is going to be
Right.
so strong.
That's true. Right, because I couldn't remember, because nowadays everything is more or less streaming, on the flight, and therefore you
Correct.
don't have to worry about that type of stuff. So I don't know. And
Yeah, or if you do have if you have actual TV, it's usually like direct
correct.
TV, so it's usually some
Right.
satellite.
That's true. So did you notice what they put on the TV?
Of course I did. My husband even recognized. He's like, "Oh, of course it's The Simpsons," which is still on today,
That is
which I
correct.
love.
Did you
I think
notice
that's
what episode
great.
of The Simpsons it was?
I can't name it for you, but I did see them in a circle, like some psychological experiment. So I know I've seen it, I just don't remember the title. I'll bet you've got
Of
it handy,
course I
though.
do. What type of question is that? Well, first
Hit
of
me. What do
all,
you
it
got?
actually the Simpsons only debuted in
About a
well
year or
this
two
this
before, right?
episode, okay, it's called There's No Disgrace Like Home, okay, which was the fourth episode of The Simpsons. Okay, this show.
Oh, so is it a rerun?
No, well, I see that's the big question here because if this movie theoretically takes place, again, we don't know if it's Christmas 89 or is it Christmas 90? All right.
Okay.
But I mean, there've been clues to make it seem as if this is Christmas 89. You know, like for instance, we saw that they were showing Lethal Weapon 2 on, you know.
Yep, I did see that.
They were showing Lethal Weapon 2, you know, as an in-flight movie, and that came out in the summer of 89, and it usually took about 6 months for movies to make it onto that. So
okay.
I always assumed that it was
89.
89
makes sense.
But this episode only aired for the first time on the 20th of January, 1990. So I guess in their world, it debuted earlier. this takes place a year later. Anything's possible.
Yeah, it
you
could
know.
Be.
There's really no way
I
of
like
knowing
that.
This. And on the commentary, so Renny Harlin talks about the fact that, you know, they were debating what TV show to put on there, and someone said to him, "Hey, there's this new show called The Simpsons. You know, why don't you just throw that on there?" Mm-hmm. You know,
it's also a Fox
true,
item.
But they,
so.
No one knew back then, after four episodes, that this show would still be running after 33 years. You know,
ain't that?
I mean, that's one of the.
I don't think anybody would.
Yeah,
have
I don't think
that.
Matt Groening even would have even. sure
Definitely not.
Not.
Definitely, especially for the reception it was getting right away. You know, like most people thought it was, you know, irreverent and inappropriate. But then again, that's what Fox
that's
did
right.
back
that's
then.
True.
Fox showing Married with Children and Living Color
that's right.
and that kind
that's
of
true.
Stuff.
So I actually watched this episode today just to get an idea
did
of
you?
What it's, you know, what's going on. I probably saw it because
yep.
I was a fan of The Simpsons at the very beginning, and then I fell off the wagon. I never got back on. You know, it's
sure.
And now it's too much to catch up on. You know, I mean, and I thought I have too many
yeah,
episodes
no
in
reason.
My podcast, you know, so, but I don't know. I mean, I'm up to 580 or something like that now. 580. This,
wow.
No, this episode
that's
I think
amazing.
Is 585. So something like that. I'm not at the point
that's
of The
so
Simpsons
cool.
yet. You know, I'm getting closer. I'll get there.
You'll get there.
That's the
You'll
plan. That is the plan. I'm not trying to purposely surpass The Simpsons. Okay.
Right. Can you imagine
yes,
that's
exactly.
the goal?
So, I mean, this was back when the episodes were, I guess you can sort of say, somewhat normal, you know, and so Homer, the episode was that Homer is taking the family to Mr. Burns's house for a work picnic. Or work fun day or whatever it is, and he wants them to act normal, and they refuse to do so, you know. And Lisa and Bart are fighting the whole time, and you know Marge doesn't know what she's going to do while she's there. I'm not going to talk about everything about that because I'm not doing that minute by minute. But the bottom line is that Homer decides that he needs to take his family to a therapist in order for them to mm-hmm. You know, start loving each other and act normal like other families that he sees.
Function
and
in
stuff
public.
Like that. And he sees a commercial for a family therapist who says, if you don't leave here happy, I will give you double your money back, right? So they need to uh-huh. scrounge around for $250. He ends up selling their TV, which everyone is upset, even Marge, that they're selling the TV. You know, there's a great line where I think Lisa says, why can't you do this when you're watching TV? You know, when you're watching your shows, because it like turns up the shit while they're watching something.
Yep.
And then they go to this therapist. And one of the things the therapist tries to do in the end is he hooks them up to these electronic things where they can, you know, electronically buzz each of the other family members. And they
it's
all do it so
scene.
Much to one another. And that's the scene that we're watching. They all do
yes.
so much to one another that the power goes out in all of Springfield. Yes.
So
and
good.
At that point, the guy basically throws them out. And then Homer says to him, well, didn't you promise that we get double our money? And he goes, no, that's just the gimmick. And then he says, okay, so we'll stay. And he's like, oh, okay, here. And he gives him $500 because he has to, you know, he gives him the double. And
get
they go get
nicer
them a nicer TV. Exactly. So that is the episode that we get to watch here of The Simpsons.
I love it.
I've heard a rumor, and because I don't watch ahead, I'll have to see if I actually can see it. They claim that there's a scene where you see the bad guys also having a TV on with the same episode on. I haven't seen it yet. So
I
don't
I
know.
It.
I don't.
Yeah, I missed it.
I don't
catch
recall
it, but maybe.
Seeing it, but over the next few weeks, maybe we'll see it. I don't know. It's not this week, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know. And then
Not.
what she basically does is, she puts all her stuff in her bag, and then Thornburg, he pulls out the earpiece, and then he organizes himself, and then he gives himself this pep talk, which is like really strange to me. Like, he's supposed to be like a respected reporter, someone who's been, or not respected, sorry. He's a
He
he definitely
respects
respects
himself quite a
himself.
bit.
He's a reporter who's been around the block very much over the years. So why does he have to give him a
Yes.
step? That's right.
Very
Seasoned.
seasoned
Seasoned.
reporter.
That's actually the word I have written down here. I just couldn't read what I wrote. Yes. Seasoned. He's a seasoned reporter. And he says to himself, okay. Which is just very strange that he's
Yeah.
giving himself this pep talk.
I wonder if it's a pep talk, not because like I need to do well, but I think he also realizes just how big this scoop is. That he's
Maybe.
the only one who knows what's actually going on, and he's going to be the one to blow this wide open. I think it's not a pep talk of like, can he do this? I think he's calming himself down because he has to be like the serious reporter, like because the adrenaline of knowing that he's going to be the one who finally gets his moment, like I think that's what he's doing.
Okay, that's fair. I just find it a little strange that he
It
would be
is
doing
odd.
this, but I agree that that's very possible that that's what he's doing there. And then he gets up and he starts walking towards the back of the plane. And at this point, once again, we see Holly, like she did last week, suspiciously watching him, not doing anything but just watching him. And then we
Yep.
see him go to a telephone bank at some point. Maybe it's in the back of the plane. And then he takes out his credit card and he swipes it. And one of the stewardess comes over to him and goes, "Please, sir, we may land at any moment. If you take your seat," he goes, I'm going to be sick. Excuse me, I'm going to be sick." And he like
Which is
puts his
actually
hand
a
to his
slick
mouth.
line.
Yes, it's very, very smart that he's willing and able and willing to do something like this so quickly. That he thinks of that quickly. And then basically he runs past her and she goes, "Sir, the seatbelt light is on." And he goes inside the bathroom and locks himself in. And then we get a shot of her. First of all, he goes in and we see that he like closes the toilet seat and like sits down on it. Yes. It's like
Yeah,
most
he's not
people
going.
when yeah no but I mean the plane toilets are usually not
Oh, yeah.
the
Cleanest.
cleanest, I guess you
No.
can say, especially after, let's say, they've been in the air 6 hours, 7 hours.
Right.
I'm used to 12-hour flights, so I know by the end of the flight you really don't want to go to the bathroom,
Definitely
unless
not.
you really need to, and then so then you do what you can to make sure that
Right. Just how big this scoop is.
that's right. Now it got me wondering, when did they start using bathrooms in on airplanes? Like, at what point did they decide that they
I
need them?
sure as hell hope that was sooner rather than later. Good grief, can you imagine?
That's right. All right, so basically they started putting toilets in airplanes in 1919.
Wow.
Obviously the designs at the beginning were very different.
Yes.
One of them on its second flight, it unfortunately crashed,
Oh,
because it
no.
was too heavy, because it wasn't designed properly.
Oh, no.
Then they started designing planes with toilets in the center of the aircraft. And then
That doesn't
there were
sound like a good
places,
idea at all.
there were airplanes that had toilets that were open to the air.
Oh no.
So
That's funny.
there was on this plane, when you would when you, they were flying, and if you open the toilet seat, there were the airflow produced a whistling noise, and they
Oh my
nicknamed that
God.
aircraft the Whistling Shit House.
That's fantastic. Oh my God, I love it.
Yes.
That's
Then
really
they
funny.
yeah during World War II, they started putting chemical toilets in bombers and things like that. And then they began to realize that they really needed to make sure that there was a possibility of being able to go to the bathroom. So they they accepted the ratio that for you need to have at least one toilet for every 50 passengers. You know, nowadays there are, depending on the plane, there are planes that have one for every 12 passengers. You know, so it
Interesting.
depends on the different type of planes and stuff like that. They patented the idea of vacuum flush in 1975, which is what we're all used to nowadays, you know, where you hold it down and you hear the big whooshing sound and stuff like that. I always used to think that you flush and, you know, as the plane was flying, it just came out the back. You know, I never. And I was like, what happens
Well,
when
I
you're
mean,
just walking by?
there's an episode of 6 Feet Under where somebody is gardening in the backyard and gets hit with a piece of blue ice and dies.
Okay, I can see that as a
Just
problem.
really unfortunate, but it's very funny.
Yes. Right. And
I mean, I.
then we're back on we're back in the bathroom with Thornburg, and
Yes.
you know, we hear on the phone WZDC, and he goes, "Yes, this is Richard Thornburg. Put me through to Ruben in the newsroom." And the response he gets is, "He's about to go live. I know he's about to go on. That's why I need him. You'll have to hold on. Put me through, Celia, or start typing your resume." So, you know, once again, he likes to show what type of ass he is, you know, even on the phone or something like this. It's funny that it takes him a little while to be able to say, you know, her name. Like, he doesn't say it right away. He doesn't say, "Celia, this is Thornburg. Get me Ruben," you know, that type of thing. So what I found really interesting is, so I looked up if WZDC is a real station or not. And it turns out that now it is. Back in 1990, it was not. Okay, but
Oh, that's interesting.
that's right. They created a TV station in 1994 that is called the WZDC, which is Channel 44.
And they're still on the air today?
From what I understand, it still is, yes.
Interesting. 44 is kind of an odd number for a local station, at least around here.
I guess
Usually
so.
around here, the
I don't
local
know.
stations are in the lower numbers. They're like the 10, 12, sixes of the
Right.
area.
Yeah.
So 44 is kind of, although 44 could be like a PBS sort of station. Sometimes that happens too.
It's very possible. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you out with that. Being
There
an
you go.
East Coaster myself.
That's true. I'm an East Coaster, you know, by birth. So there
Originally.
you go. Yes. So I know Channel 9 and Channel 11 and Channel 5, which are now completely
Yes.
different than what they were back then. So whatever.
Now they're all filler stations, so
That's right.
it's crazy.
That's right. And then the shot changes, and we get a few seconds here at the end of this minute of John. So first of all, you know, we see somebody wrapping John's arm, you know, with a bandage. And
Yes.
then, you know, someone else, well, you can see that they have a military jacket. They light John's cigarette, you know, so it makes it look like he's, you know,
He's being cared for this time.
he's definitely being cared for here. There's no question about that, the way that they're doing it. And we see all these pictures behind him, and we see some sort of cartoon with someone in an airplane, which is a little blurry, so I couldn't really tell exactly what it is. And we get to hear John have a very short sentence where he just says, "Esperanza's down." And that's all we get for this minute. So,
That's
you know,
it.
tomorrow we'll get to hear the rest of his report. So we'll have to wait for
Yes.
that.
You get a little teaser taste here.
That's right. Yeah. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, I think we've covered it.
All right. So the script is pretty much the same. They expand a little bit, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about it. So Thornburg starts off by saying, "Boy, am I good." And then Holly has the line about the Video Sleaze Awards. And then his response is, "Try Pulitzer, Mrs. McLean." You know,
Oh.
so yeah. And it says, "But now that the stewardess reaches up and turns on the TV projection, as the lights darken, Thornburg decides that it's perfect cover. Pretending he's getting a blanket overhead, he slips his credit card in one of the earphones. Then he moves down the aisle, phone inside his jacket." And then she tells him, you know, he has to sit down. He goes, "I'm going to be sick." He makes a croaking noise to sell it and stumbles into the laboratory. And then he says, "This is Richard Thornburg. Put me through to the news director. I know he's getting ready for the broadcast. That's why I want him. Now get him or start typing your resume."
There it is.
That's right. And then, you know, switches over to John, and it says the doctor patches McClane's right hand. One of the soldiers gives McClane a cigarette. And then McClane says Esperanza's down. And so it's pretty much the same. You know, there isn't that
aligned.
Much there isn't much deviation here. So except for the Mrs. McClane, which I'm sort of glad they got rid of because I don't think it really needs to be there.
Yeah, I mean, if he delivers the line and every time and not always going to be perfect like that, but I like it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so every Monday we have a segment called McClane Monday where my guests will give their top five Bruce Willis performances.
Yes.
So, Lisa, why don't you tell us what you got? You start with your number
this
five and work your
hard,
way up.
Because he's a favorite of mine. So it was
well, I don't
hard
invite
to
people
like,
here.
Oh, God, I can only do five.
Lisa, I don't invite people over here to do fun, to do easy things. You know, it's fun, but you gotta work a little bit at it.
You gotta earn your spot. Okay.
That's right.
So, at number five, I'm going to go with The Fifth Element, which is just a delightful mess of a movie. But I got to show it quite a bit when I would teach mise-en-scène to my film elective. So it was just this silly, chaotic movie, but I just think that his quips in that movie are just kind of amazing. And I just absolutely think he's a riot in that film. Number four is Hostage, which
Ooh.
Is a movie I feel like people have forgotten it exists. And it's so good in so many ways. I just think that he as dad and, you know, trying to help everybody and, you know, dealing with these two sort of diabolical kids who have sort of taken over, you know, Ben Foster is very chilling in this movie. And I just love Jonathan Tucker and everything. So I think, you know, these are two character actors who stand out pretty strongly and almost overshadow Bruce Willis in a lot of it. But it's just such a cool movie.
Oh, wow. Well, you've just convinced me to rewatch that one. It's been a while, so.
Oh, good. Yes, it's super good. Random kind of choice, but I, again, love his voice styles is Mikey and Look Who's Talking.
Okay.
I just think it's very silly, very funny kind of movie. The first one. The ones that came afterwards are ridiculous, but I just think of, like, you know, you've got this baby looking at a woman's chest. And, you know,
lunch.
John Travolta saying, oh, you must be thinking what I'm thinking. And I could just Bruce Willis going, yeah, lunch. Like,
lunch.
Just his voice is brilliant in this role and hit that sarcasm that comes through that we love from him so much. My number two is The Sixth Sense, which is I just think his gravitas comes through a lot. He's not the yelling action hero we're used to in this film. It's a lot darker. It's a lot more, you know, mysterious. Obviously, Shyamalan's debut, where we all kind of picked up who he was and what he does. And I just think that movie is amazing and brilliant. And then, yes, I had to shout out my John McClane. My favorite is Die Hard with a Vengeance. Because I think the trio of Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson and Jeremy Irons is unstoppable in that film. And it is absolutely, you know, one of my favorite movies, period, let alone a major peak in the Die Hard franchise.
Mm-hmm. So I assume that means you're going to probably want to come back in two seasons. You know, probably.
Yes, please. I'll be very upset. I may never speak to you again if I'm not in that series somewhere.
Well, if I don't invite you, that means you won't speak to me ever. That I won't speak to you either. Yeah. So.
Wait a minute. Did I just like give you a way to avoid me? This isn't good.
Yes, you did. But we'll see. All right. Great, Lisa. You want to?
I love it so much.
You want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So you can find me in the Rabbit Hole Podcasts Network. I am on Twitter as FoolishMinion20. And I am on podcasts within the network, such as Pictures and Conversations, a Rabbit Hole Podcast Book Club, and Between the Scares, on which we are working our way through all of Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions films.
Ooh, fun. All right. And finding me is very simple.
It's good stuff.
Yes, it is. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little village.